All right, well, please bow your heads with me as we prepare to reflect upon that word that Seth just read for you here. Well, Father, again, we thank you for today, and we thank you, Lord, again for these young people who are going to be graduating and moving on into what you have for them next. And as we consider these words that were read, how they apply to us, what they say to us, we pray that you would enable us, Lord, by your Spirit to understand and just to take these words with us as we go on in life from this point forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if any of our youth remember, but several years ago at our Free Lutheran Youth Conference, they had this theme, the theme of identity. And I figured with graduation, that might be something that's good to piggyback off of. And, of course, it also popped out as I was studying through this passage here throughout this last week. And so what do I mean by identity? Well, what I mean is that teens and young adults, they are known, they're notorious for this whole, you know, trying to find themselves aspect of life. They're known for searching for their identity. They're known for their efforts to discover, you know, their interests, their talents, what they believe, and of course, what they want to do with their life as they move on into adulthood. And that being said, many young people, they graduate high school with really no idea when it comes to their identity. They don't know what they're good at. They don't know what they enjoy outside of maybe some of the sports or activities they participated in during school. They are unsure of their own values and beliefs, and they don't know, in some cases, what they want to do with their lives. And it's for this reason that, I know not everybody goes off to college, but many kids do after high school just because they don't know what else they're supposed to do. And they go off to school knowing that, you know what, I need to do something, but they're unsure of what it is. And for this reason, many of them change their majors many times and even drag out their education because of this lack of certainty. Now, in one sense, this search for identity is a very natural process for all of us. And it's necessary because early on in life, our identity, it's generally wrapped up in other people. It's wrapped up in our parents and in our family of origin. And you all know that when you're kids, we are known as the son or the daughter of a particular couple. We are known as the son or the daughter of people who work in a particular field. We are known as the son and daughter of people who have certain talents or who stand for a certain cause or a certain set of values, but we are known because of our family more than anything else. And not only that, but everything that we do when we are young is tied up with our family. If our parents like to camp, then guess what? Like it or not, you're going camping, right? That's how life works. If your parents like to watch sports, then you're going to be going to sporting events or watching sports on TV. If your parents like to garden and do yard work, then you're probably going to get sucked into that, and you're going to do some of that whether you like it or not. And if your parents like music, you're probably going to be taken to concerts and introduced to various instruments from the time that you are young. And so for this reason, we have to figure out who we are. We have to discover our own interests and what we enjoy. We have to discover what we're good at, what we're talented at. And we need to figure out what we're going to do with our life from that time on. And in time, not only do we want to discover who we are, but we want to be known for who we are. We want our identity to be established not only in our minds, but also in the minds of others who know us and who surround us. We want to be known not for our parents' talents, not for their work, but for our own talents and for our own accomplishments, for our own interests, for our own beliefs. And even though we love our parents and we love our family members, we want independence so that we can do this. Now, discovering our identity is also important so that we can come to terms with our beliefs and our values apart from our parents. Naturally, early on in life, we grab hold of their values without question, and we do so because that's all we know. It's what we're taught as we grow up in our parents' household. But again, at a certain point in life, we must determine, is this something that I believe or not? And we must discover if we are going to hold to those values with which we were raised or whether we're going to throw them away and go and do our own thing. However, even though this is necessary to a point, there is also a problem with this whole finding yourself thing. And there's a problem with this whole discovering your identity. And the problem is that throughout our life, our identity is not constant. In many ways, it changes throughout life. It changes through the various stages of life in which we find ourselves. For example, you know, perhaps a part of your identity as you grow and you get married, it's found in your spouse. But then after many years of marriage, your spouse dies. And now you are no longer known as the husband and wife of that person. You're now a widow or a widower in some cases. But then sometimes, and we've seen this, you know, people who are widowed, they end up getting married again. They commit themselves until death to another person. And then once again, their identity suddenly changes. No longer are they a widow or a widower. Now they are a spouse, but they are a spouse to a different person than they were in the first case. Maybe your identity is wrapped up in something that you enjoy. But then, due to various circumstances, something changes. And you no longer participate in that identity. But then you pick up another in its place. And as I think back on my life, that was true of me. Throughout much of my growing up years, I was a drummer. And that was a big part of my identity. That's what I was known for throughout school. I started playing when I was very young, when I was 9. I played all the way through my freshman year of college. I played in pretty much everything. I played in concert band. I played in marching band. I played in jazz band. I played in pep band. I played in the orchestra. And I was pretty good. I didn't practice like I should have, but I had enough natural talent that even though I was in a big school district with lots of competition, I was always the captain of the drummers. I was the first chair. I could generally outplay everybody else. But after my freshman year of college, I realized that this is taking a lot of time from other things that are more important. I wasn't going into music as a career, and so at that point, I made the decision to stop playing and to devote my time to other things. And even though I did still play from time to time after that, I played at my church during college, and my last church I played at fairly consistently, but it's really no longer a part of my identity any longer. Maybe your identity is wrapped up in your job. You've been working at a particular job so long that it's a part of who you are, but then things change. Maybe you're laid off. Maybe you're offered a great job, but it's in a different line of work. And just like that, your identity, it changes. And this is true with all kinds of jobs that you can think of. You know, if you were a teacher, and then suddenly you stop teaching, well, are you a teacher any longer? You know, if you're a doctor and you stop practicing medicine, you're no longer really a doctor. Our identity goes through that change. The same thing is true even in ministry. Now, this isn't true in the Catholic Church, where ordination is viewed as a sacrament, but in the Lutheran Church and in other denominations, you're only a pastor if you have a call to serve in a particular congregation. So if somebody is suddenly without a call or at a point where I retire, I'm no longer a pastor any longer. And there's yet another problem with having your identity wrapped up in things like this. What happens when you fail? What happens when you don't succeed in a given field? What happens when you fail as a spouse or a parent? What happens when you fail at those things that you enjoy? All of a sudden, your identity is in question. All of a sudden, again, your identity is stripped away and you are lost. And you need to find yourself all over again. And nowadays, it's more confusing than ever before because society tells us that our identity is whatever we want it to be. It's whatever we feel. You know, they tell us that you're not a man because you're born with male parts, and you're not a woman because you're born with female parts. You're whatever you feel like. And the problem is that our feelings are not constant. Our feelings change and they shift from one day to the next. And so if our identity is formed by our feelings, we can never really identify as anything. And we can't identify as anything because there is nothing stable on which to identify it. But I think you get what I'm saying. Our identity is wrapped up in all kinds of things like these. But when things change, we can wind up feeling lost, and we can even get to the point where we no longer know who we are anymore. However, there is also an identity to which we can cling that never changes. No matter how the circumstances of our life may change, this will always remain true. And this is what we see in that lesson that was read for you a short time ago. Now, in the first chapter of John, we read about Jesus and we read about his coming into the world. And again, starting in verse 9, this is what we read. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this passage, as we look at it, it largely focuses upon the fact that Jesus was rejected when he took on flesh and when he came into the world. We're told right off the bat that the blessing that he was bringing, it was for everybody. Again, we are told that, you know, he is the true light which gives light to everybody. However, even though he came into the world which he had created, the people didn't recognize him. And even though he came to his own people, even though he came to the people who he had redeemed and the people who were called by his name, they did not receive him. However, even though most of the people did not receive him, there were a few who did. And these people, we find, received a tremendous blessing from God. We're told that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, or he gave the power, to become children of God. And this, you see, is a tremendous blessing. While once they were not God's children, they have now become his children. They now belong to God. They have now been welcomed into his family. And what we find is that this is something that cannot be said of just anyone. Now, I do realize that today most people tell us that, you know what, we're all God's children. They tell us that we all belong to God. And their point in saying this is that all people are loved by God. Their point in saying this is that all people belong to God, and for this reason, we should be loving and accepting of all people. And there is some truth in this. It's true in a sense, and it's true because we are all the work of God's hands. We were all created by him. And because of this, we all have an inherent worth. We all have an inherent value. It's also true that we are to value all people and all human life because of this fact, because we were all created by God. We're to value all people and value all human life because we were all created in the image of God. We cannot devalue anybody in this world without devaluating our Creator. It's also true that God loves all people and that he desires their blessing. God doesn't pick and choose between us. God doesn't look at one and say, I want that person to be saved, and look at another one and say, I want that person to be damned. That's not how it works. His desire for each and every one of us is exactly the same. God wants all people to be saved, Scripture tells us. He wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. His desire is that all people will receive his mercy. And he's provided this for each and every one of us, all mankind, through Jesus. He's made it available to us through Jesus, who gave his life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for the sin of us, of course, but also for all mankind. However, just because we were created by God, and just because we were made in his image, just because God desires our salvation, and just because Jesus died for us, that doesn't mean that we are his children. It doesn't mean that we're entitled to his blessings. Because look at what Scripture says about us prior to our coming to faith. In Romans 3, starting in verse 10, Paul writes, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And we'll look at one other real quick. In Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, and again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." And we learn from passages such as these that prior to coming to faith, we were wicked. Prior to coming to faith, we lived for sin. All we wanted to do was sin. All we pursued was rebellion against God. In fact, prior to coming to faith, we wanted nothing to do with God whatsoever. We followed the course of this world, Paul tells us. In fact, he says, we followed the course of Satan himself. So Scripture is clear that apart from faith in Jesus, we are not children of God. But more than that, we are children of wrath, he said, deserving of punishment. We are children of the devil. Prior to coming to faith, we don't deserve God's blessing in the least. Prior to coming to faith, the only thing that we deserve is judgment. The only thing that we deserve is an eternity of torment in hell. And so if we then are to become children of God, someone has to accomplish this for us. We can't do it ourselves because, as we have seen, we are completely and utterly lost with no desire to pursue God. Becoming God's children has to be done for us because it's not intrinsic to us. As we've seen, we're not good enough to become His children, nor is it anything that we can achieve on our own. We can never do enough, we can never be good enough to earn this status. So becoming the children of God, it's a blessing that God Himself has to bestow upon us. And we see this looking back at our lesson for this morning. We are born, John says, we are made His children, not of blood. In other words, we don't become the children of God because we belong to a certain bloodline. We don't become the children of God by being Jewish or American or white or black or Asian or anything else. It's not a matter of race, and it's not a matter of nationality. We are born, we are made the children of God, not of the will of the flesh. And what we are being told here is that we cannot decide for ourselves that we are going to be the children of God. We can't decide to be His children. And so in this sense, we cannot truly make a decision for Christ. It's something that He works in us. And we are born, we are made the children of God, not of the will of man. So in other words, no one else can decide this for us either. Although they have great influence over our lives, our parents cannot decide for us that we will be a child of God. Even though they have great influence over us, our grandparents cannot decide this for us. In the same way, your pastor can't decide it for you. Your youth director can't decide that for you. Again, it's by believing in Jesus that we are made to be the children of God. And this is what we see in our lesson. It's through faith in Christ that this happens. And just taking a small piece of that text, again in verse 12, oops, I skipped one there. We are told, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God." So again, it's by faith in Christ that we are brought to this status, that we are given this status. So if we then have faith in Jesus, this is our identity. If we have faith in Jesus, we are the children of God. if we have faith in Jesus, then we have been born of God and we are a part of his people. And this is an identity in which we can truly find comfort. It's an identity in which we can truly find peace and in which we can find rest. It's in this identity that we can truly define ourselves. And this is true because this is something that is unchanging. Unlike most other things in life that form our identity, this is something that does not change. As I mentioned a while ago, over the course of our life, our marital status might change, but this does not. Our interests may change, but this does not. Our career may change, but this does not. It remains true of us so long as we have faith in Christ. And this is also something that no one and nothing can take away from us. You know, man, they may be able to take everything else from us in life. They can take from us our money and our possessions. They can take our career. They can take our reputation. They can take our family. They can even take our own life. But they cannot take from us the salvation of God. They cannot take from us our status as God's children. Again, as long as we have faith, this is something that is true of us. And this is an identity that it is important, it's meaningful, not only in this life, but it's also meaningful in eternity. Nothing by which we identify ourselves in this world, it doesn't matter in the life to come. You know, when we get to heaven, when we live in the kingdom of God forever, it really is not going to matter whether we were single or married in this life. It's not really going to matter if we happen to have liked art or sports. It's not going to matter whether we were popular or whether we were the outcast. It's not going to matter if we were rich or poor. It's not going to matter if you were a doctor, a lawyer, a waitress, a pastor, or even a garbage collector. The only thing that matters in the grand scheme of things is that you are a child of God. And for this reason, for you four sitting here today, as you prepare to make some major changes in your life, as you prepare to, some of you go off to college, as some prepare to go into the workforce. I know it's not true for you, but we heard from some of the graduates planning to go into the military. I hope and pray that you will find your identity in what's really important. I hope and pray that you'll find your identity wrapped up in your status as a child of God. And I hope and I pray that your position in Christ will influence everything else that you do going forward, that you might be a blessing, that you might represent Christ to a lost and a fallen world. Amen. Let's pray together. Again, Lord, we thank you for these young people, and we pray this for them, but we also pray it for all of us, because we know we all struggle with these issues. We have trouble at times knowing who we are. We have trouble knowing what we like, what we want to do. We have trouble because what we think of ourselves, it changes throughout the course of our lives. And we pray, Lord, that even though family is so important and work is so important, but we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to find our identity in what's truly important, and that's in you. We pray, Lord, that each one of us we'll look to you and trust in you for the salvation that you have given, for all of the blessings that you bestow, both in this world and more importantly in the life to come. Help us to trust in you, and help us, Lord, once again to know that if everything else falls apart, we are your children, and that's what matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.